Good morning. It is great to be with you. My wife and I have been coming to Homosassa and Homosassa Springs and Crystal River since 1970. Once I heard about these rivers, we started coming. We camped at Nature's Campground and kept coming and kept coming. And we were at Bellevue. I'm serving the church there. And one day I came over and met with one of the realty people here in Homosassa, and they took me to Crystal River, of all places. And on that very same day, my wife went with her class to Crystal River. And we were both on the Fort Island Trail, both marveling at the sawgrass out there. I found a piece of property, and she says, what a wonderful place that is, on the very same day. And we found a little dream location, and we've been there ever since. That is, we were serving churches all over the state, but we kept coming to Crystal River and Homosassa, enjoying this wonderful nature coast that we are blessed to be a part of. And I've been noticing the Homosassa Church along the way, and we've worshiped here a couple of times and been blessed to be in your presence in worship. We haven't made it to the 8 o'clock service, twice to the 11 o'clock service. We couldn't find Ernie. We were looking for Ernie, but I guess he comes here at 8. We knew Ernie was a part of this congregation. And we came by one day and saw this beautiful facility that you all had built and rejoiced in our hearts with you that you were able to make this happen. When I was serving the Lakeland Church at the very beginning, one of our youth workers was Barry Lane. And he was a friend of John Denmark that many of you know, who served as your pastor for a long time. So I got to know John way back then, and we've been enjoying this area and knowing about you. And we were, Chris and I, serving a church in the Bahamas in Managua, and I pulled up the conference newsletter and read about your trip to Haiti and to Petit Guam. I've been to Petit Guam, so any of you who've been on that trip, we've been to the same community in Haiti, which is kind of a strange thing. And we've read with interest and appreciation your involvement in the mission of our church. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't help but pick up on the fact that Jesus was very popular, that folks followed him wherever he was in the Galilee, wanting to hear him preach and teach and to be healed. But also in the Gospels, as you read it, you also find a dark side. Not everybody is happy with Jesus. He has those who are offended by him. And so in last week's lesson that sets the stage for this week's lesson, Jesus gives very strong words to those who would be his followers. Let anyone who has ears to hear do what? Listen. Tax who was listening? Sinners and tax collectors were coming near and listening. Now, isn't that a good thing, church? It is a good thing. But not everybody was happy about that, were they? The scribes and the Pharisees are offended by this. To make matters worse, Jesus welcomes them. Jesus loves them. Jesus eats with them. Have you heard about that new novel, The Help? Chris and I have just finished reading this New York Times bestseller. It takes place in the 60s in Jackson, Mississippi, and it chronicles the way blacks and whites lived together in those days. Praise God. Those days are over. God has done a new thing, a wonderful thing. Those days, thank God, are over. In my first church, when I first met John Denmark, there was a wonderful couple by the name of T.G. and Odessa Mann. They were from Georgia. They were just the sweetest couple. They invited this young, brand-new preacher and his wife and daughter over to their house for dinner, and Odessa would just move like this as she was cooking our meal, and T.G. turned his business over to his son, and it was about 3 miles away. He was there every morning. You know how he got there? He walked. His lawn was always mowed. I don't know when it could look like my lawn, but it was always mowed. They would have us play dominoes with them and play both their dominoes and our dominoes. Chris sang in the choir, and so we had our daughter, and we needed a place for her to be during worship, and so we asked the man if it would be all right if our daughter would sit with them, and so that was our routine. I took our youth into North Florida on a mission trip to several small churches up there, and one of the churches was a black church in Lake City, and I met there a wonderful young college student, a black young lady, who was transferring to Florida Southern College. So I invited her to church. You know what Chris did? She asked Odessa Mann to escort this young black student into church along with our daughter. You know what happened? Odessa turned and wheeled around and went into church. She was offended. She would not escort a black person into her church. Here in our lesson, sinners and tax collectors come near to listen to Jesus. And the good church leaders of the synagogue are offended. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. One of the old rules in the South was you don't eat together. Blacks and whites don't eat together, even if the black person did the cooking. You don't eat together. And that was the rule in Jesus' day. Righteous folks do not eat with sinners. That is an offense to God, is the way they saw it. Because the scribes and the Pharisees, these good church leaders, are offended at Jesus, Jesus tells three stories. Jesus loves these scribes and Pharisees. They were good people. He wants them to understand God's heart. Which one of you, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one, he wants them to identify with this shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. who welcomes the lost, who identifies with the lost, and who wants the religious leaders to put themselves in the sandals of a shepherd. If this shepherd loses one, he leaves the 99 behind, and he goes looking for that one lost sheep, and when he finds it, because he's going to find it, because he's going to search until he does find it, he's going to put that little sheep on his shoulders and come back. And what is he going to do then? He's going to rejoice. He's going to have a party. He's going to get his friends together. And they're going to celebrate because that one lost sheep has been found. Praise God. My wife did children's choir, and one of the musicals that they sang, and I wished it was sung by every children's choir in every church, is The Storytelling Man by Ken Medina. And he has a song that celebrates the joy. Let's have a party. Let's make a racket. I'm as happy, I'm as joyful as ever I could be. Let's have a party. Let's make a racket because the lost has returned to me. And what does Jesus say? Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There is joy in heaven. God rejoices when just one lost soul comes and begins to listen to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus tells another story. Or what woman who has lost 10 coins, who has 10 coins, if she loses one of them, she will light a lamp, she will get out the broom, and she will look and search until she finds that one coin. As I've already told you, Chris and I love the water. We love these two rivers. One weekend, and for preachers, that doesn't work. Often mean a weekend, and I don't remember whether it was a weekend or not, but we were with our friends at Fort DeSoto Park with our boats, and we were in the water getting ready to ski, and our friend Jackie lost a ring. So she was trying to learn how to ski. She's got a life jacket on. She's got the rope. She's got the skis, and we're just about ready to go, and off goes her ring. Jackie was a very unhappy camper. We were camping, and she was an unhappy camper. It was an heirloom, family heirloom, but she quickly let us know that. And I dove, and I dove, and I dove, and I couldn't find that ring. And I thought, you know what? What I need is a mask. Jackie had enough presence of mind. She was a friend from college and seminary days. She stood right where she lost it. We were in waist to chest-high water. She kept standing there. I had to take the boat, go to the camp, come back, and get a mask. One dive down, and there was that ring. You don't think we celebrated? It really would have been a downer, wouldn't it? For that camping trip to have meant she lost a family heirloom. Jesus says, when the woman finds her coin, she too will call together her friends and say, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost. And again, Jesus says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One story? Two stories. There are three stories, aren't they? It goes beyond today's lesson to the next lesson, but you know where it goes, right? There's a lost boy. Really, there's two lost boys, aren't there, in that story? It isn't just the prodigal who leaves and goes to the far land. When he comes home, what happens? The dad is a happy camper. The dad rejoices. The dad throws a party, the biggest party he's ever thrown. But what about his brother? Does the brother rejoice? Who is Jesus thinking about now when he gives us the story of this older brother? Isn't it those who are offended by Jesus? Offended that he eats and welcomes sinners. Again, to the words of the children's musical, kill the fatted calf, kill the old red rooster, I'm as happy, I'm as joyful as ever I could be, for my son has returned to me. Dee Mitchell loves his job as a librarian in Los Angeles. He loves to classify books, to catalog them, and to see all of those books in their order. Talk of a new retrieval system, and you get a smile on his face. He just loves his work. If he sees a book out of place, that book is going to where it belongs right now. Call him a little control crazy. Call him a little compulsive, obsessive. But don't say he doesn't care about his job keeping all those books in order. And Jesus tells us that God has a streak of obsessive, compulsive personality. God has a passion for souls. God sent Jesus into the world to do what? To save sinners, right? Isn't that why God sent Jesus? To save sinners? That's the whole reason God sent Jesus into the world. He's come to redeem those that have fallen, those that are broken. Over and over again, three times, Jesus repeats the message. Can you get it, folks? God is like a shepherd who goes and searches for the one lost lamb. God is like a woman who has lost a coin and gone and turned on the light and got out the broom and searches and searches and searches until she finds that one coin. And when she finds it, she gets her neighbors and she rejoices because she has found the one lost coin. God is like a man who has a lost son who finally comes home and he throws the biggest party he has ever thrown in his life because his lost boy has been found. And there is joy in heaven. God rejoices when one sinner repents. The parable says God loves sinners. God values them. God searches for them. Dr. Yashiro Ishida is an international church leader. He's from Japan and a Lutheran. By the way, I passed a Lutheran church on my way here today, and outside that church were Lost and Found. I guess that was the title for today, Lost and Found. Dr. Yashida has served the church as a pastor, as a seminary professor, and many positions at the Lutheran World Federation in Geneva, Switzerland. His last service to the church was to go back to Japan and start a women's college. His family were Buddhists. He was raised in Japan, where only 1% of the people are Christian. How did God reach this person? He says he was a teenager in World War II. He was a devout Buddhist, along with his family, and he went to the temple often. It was a safe place, and he sought to be right with God. Then one day, by chance, he got a Bible, and he started reading the Bible. And it was a new world that was opening to him, but he couldn't make much sense out of it. Then one day, all of that changed. He says the scales fell off of his eyes. And it was the joy of God that got to him. His heart was caught with the fact that the parables portray the joy of God. He recited the story of the lost sheep, and that verse, which we've gone over and over this morning, just so I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. He says, note the joy of God. He couldn't believe it. He says, I always thought we need to get right with God. That's what I was trying to do. In the Buddhist temple, I was trying to get right with God. But the Bible talks about a God who needs to save us. And when God saves us, when God finds us, God is filled with joy. And he thought, God is overjoyed in finding just one person. He found this new. He had never heard of such a thing. It meant God was concerned with me, he thought. With me. Just one person. God is filled with finding me. And he says, to this very day, I thought that's what the gospel is all about. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is overjoyed when just one person comes home to God. Church, this is good news, isn't it? Finding and restoring lost souls gives pleasure to God. Isn't that what we want to do, to give pleasure to God? So come home, but also help others to come home. Dr. Fred Craddock, who is a great preaching professor, when he was a student, served a little church in East Tennessee. It was a beautiful church, as beautiful as a picture, a white-framed church. There were good people in that church, warm, loving, fine people. But this young student preacher found a problem in his church, because he looked around and he noticed that none of the new folks in town who had come to work on a government project, none of the folks who lived in mobile homes, none of the poor of their community were in his church. And so he called a church meeting. He says, this is our mission. This is what we should be doing. But the chairperson of the board said, no, I don't think so. They wouldn't fit in here. So the young preacher protested, they need the gospel. They need the church. Still, this board chairman said no. The next Sunday, they had a meeting, and they passed a resolution. You couldn't be a member of that church unless you owned property in the county. It's the resolution that they passed. Years later, Dr. Craddock was back in that town, and the church building was still there. It was just as beautiful as ever. But there was a new sign outside. You know what it said? Barbecue chicken, pork, and ribs. And they went inside, and the pews were full of folks eating barbecue. And Dr. Craddock said, you know what? It's a good thing. It's not a church anymore, because these folks wouldn't be welcome here. Three parables. They remind us God loves sinners. Jesus loves sinners. God sent Jesus to save sinners. God searches and searches and waits until we come home. Our mission, in that old TV, if we should accept it, is to join God in His mission to search for His children who are lost. And then, it's not over, is it? Welcome them and celebrate with them when they come home. I wonder, do we like to spend time with sinners? Do we? Christopher Smart was an 18th century poet. He was a heavy drinker, mentally unstable, fell into a great depression, and then came back to God enthusiastically. But he wrote this, "For I am come home again, but there is nobody to kill the fatted calf." And nobody to play the music. I lost them. That's the church. And to celebrate when the sinners come home. We all get pharisaical, don't we? Thinking about what's right, who's right, and who's wrong. If it were your child, wouldn't you grab somebody and say, celebrate with me?